God, thank you for leading us in this time of worship. We're encouraged to look at you and to look ourselves so honestly. Isn't the one song to say, Lord, here's my heart. I know I'm prone to wander. Take it, seal it for your glory and in your courts above. And then this song, which makes it so simple that we would cry out to you in our desperation, in our need, in our joy, to cry out to Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us to do that. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you're in first to sixth grade, or if you know you go to Children's Church, Friends Church, ready, break. My goodness, look at them. Look at them go. Oh, they're some fine children, I tell you. That's what I'd say if I was Irish, but since I'm not. Oh, since Kerry's Irish, I'll keep saying it. Yes, I did not have a wedding. I did speak at a retreat that required me to wear a suit, which required me to get my suit dry cleaned, which means I wear it today since I got it dry cleaned. I'm going to pay to get it dry cleaned. I'm going to get my use out of it. So that's why I'm suited up. Thank you all for noticing. Thank you for saying I look nice. I'm still not going to wear one every Sunday. Some people say amen to that, and other people are saying, oh, man, so in the middle is where we're going to be on that one. Taking the middle ground. We're in back to basics. We're talking about just some of the basic things that God has meant for the church to be. But we're also couching this conversation and this series into what we would like to see Christ Community Church, how we'd like to see Christ Community Church in the next 5 years. What kind of church would we like to be? And one of the things that occurred to me as I'm doing this back to basic series and what we would like to see at Christ Community Church in the future is this. The church doesn't have to be novel, trivial. The church doesn't have to do some kind of new approach, a new fancy thing. Everything we need to be the church that God's pleased with, He's given us through His Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, and through the revelation of the Word of God. Everything we need is right there. We don't have to try to be the coolest, newest thing on the block. We can just come out and say, we're going to be the church that Jesus designed. And one of those things that I believe He would have in His church and that I hope to see at Christ Community Church more and more is preaching and praying the Word of God. Preaching and praying the Word of faith. That we'd be preaching the Word and seeing God call preachers of the Word out from our congregation. And that we'd be praying the Word of faith. We'd be praying in faith. We'd respond to God through prayer. That we'd call out to Jesus just like that song said. Yesterday I was at a retreat, which is why I'm suited up today, like I've already said. But one of the cool things is that when you bring people in contact with the Word of God and you talk with them and you pray with them, you see them respond. And there was a lady, I'm not going to venture her age because that's just impolite. You know, you're not supposed to do that. I will venture to say she was older than I am. And she said she's never prayed out loud before yesterday. That yesterday, for the first time, she prayed out loud to God. And y'all, if you don't recognize that, and that may seem trivial to you, but that is a step of faith. Just praying out loud to the God of heaven and earth. It's an awesome thing. It's an awesome response. People like to make a lot of what it means and complicate what it means to be saved and have a relationship with God. But I'm going to tell you something. It can be simplified fairly easy too. It means relating to God, talking to God, having a relationship and conversing with God. And for this woman to take her first step in a conversation with God and to pray out loud was a great step. And again, it may seem little, but I don't think it was to God. And I know it wasn't to her. She started a conversation that doesn't ever need to end because she started it with God. So we're going to talk about preaching the Word and praying the Word of faith, especially as it relates to what kind of church God would have us to be in the next 5 years. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 6, Romans 10, 6 through 17. This is the word of God. This is the perfect part of my sermon. People say, you know, no preacher is perfect. He is why he's quoting the word. And I'm going to take my moment of perfection right now, if you don't mind. This is it. This is what I get. So I'm going to emphasize it. And y'all listen closely. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray. Father God, help us in our quest to be honoring and pleasing to you and to be used by your spirit and your word, your kingdom and your plan to lead other people to maturing relationships with Jesus Christ. Help us to be a church that doesn't seek just to do new, different things, but to be solid, to be the church that's preaching the gospel, that's being the church that's praying and responding to you in faith. Help us to be that church. Help us to be the church that sees people get saved. Because there's a lot of churches doing a lot of things, but there's not a lot of folks getting saved, it seems, through the ministry of the church. And we want to be that church where people give their life to Christ in response to the gospel. Help us to become that church. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you got saved, aren't you glad? Is there anybody here regretting that they got saved? Any saved people here want to turn in their credentials, want to leave their heavenly seal and birth certificate alone? Anybody want to walk away? I know it's hard to answer those kind of things honest in church, but I just want you to think about it. Because this is what I know. I know that although I might have thought I was doing something and might have thought I was having fun in my old life, I know more than any of y'all know the insecurities that I faced. I know the things that kept me up at night that I was afraid of. I know the hatred. I know the aimlessness that I felt. I know why I was doing things that were destroying my body and getting into addictions. I know why those things were there. And let me just tell you this. I am so glad that Jesus Christ intervened on my behalf and saved me. But he didn't do it just out somewhere in the wilderness, come into my mind and speak to me, hey, John, it's me, Jesus, and I want to tell you something, and you need to get saved. What he did was he sent a guy to me that could barely speak English because he mumbled so bad, named Gary Heim, and he sat down with a tract, and he explained the gospel to me. He preached the word of God to me his own way, and I responded to the gospel message. Is that how it happened to you somehow, some way? Did you respond to the gospel message? I believe you probably did. And in that process, although I was not saved by prayer, I was saved by God who led me to pray in my response. He started a conversation with me when I was 19 years old that's going to carry on to eternity. And I'm glad because I know all I could earn with my own strength and my own goodness is an eternity in the hot place. That's it. That's all I could earn and get for myself. A lifestyle and a lifetime of frustration, not just my own, but everybody who else, you know, was in my life. I would just frustrate them because that's all I could do. It's all I could do on my own. I don't know about you, but if you think about it and you come to grips with it, you'll realize that's all you can earn for yourself too. So we ought to be so happy and so eager that there's another way, that God provided another way, that we don't have to rest on our own goodness, our own ability to keep the law. Anybody break the law this morning, by the way? Anybody? Thank you. You know, I believe there's some people in here who have not broke the law today. They're named Austin and Mary, and I think they've done probably pretty good. Do y'all remember there's a prayer that goes like this? This man was praying. He said, Lord, I've been perfect today. I haven't committed one sin. I haven't had one bad thought. I haven't done anything bad. I haven't, you know, cheated, swindled, done anything. I ain't thought a cuss word. I ain't done nothing, and I've done it all on my own thus far. But now I'm fixing to get out of bed, Lord, and I sure could use your help. You know, listen, we need God's help. You know, the word of faith doesn't come to us and say, hey, what you got to do is you got to believe in Jesus and you got to keep all these rules and you got to be perfect in it. And if you're not, I'm going to come take your relationship away. Oh, my goodness. I'm too much. I'm too aggressive. Thank you for whoever said that. I don't know how to fix this thing. Okay. Are we back on again? No? Yes? 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 Hello? Sorry about that. There's people who listen to me online because they're really bored. They don't have anything else to do. So I'm sorry. Sorry for what just happened to the microphone to you all who are listening online. Point is, God doesn't come and say it's going to be based on what you can do and what you can give and all these things, because you would never make it. And any thought that you could is an overestimation of your own skill and holiness. God does it. God does it from A to Z. God does it from top to bottom. And it's the word of faith that we preach. It's the word of faith that we pray. And that's how God operates. And it's his system. Now, Paul in Romans chapter 10 gives us a personal moment, and I didn't put that in our outline, but I just want you to hear it so you understand what his heart's desire in writing and how God used him in writing this chapter. In verse 1 of chapter 10, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. He's praying for lost folks to be saved. That's what he's praying for. He's hoping that his friends and his family will be saved. Do you got anybody in your friends and your family and your circle who needs the Lord today? Well, then I'm going to tell you, you need to be someone who wants to get them within the hearing of gospel preaching that they might make their connection with God. Furthermore, he says this, although they're very religious, they don't know how God works. And in verse 4, he says this, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And I'm just setting that up to say this. He's going to present the way of faith, not the way of religion. He's going to present the way of faith, not the way of law keeping. And that is the tradition, my friends, that we want to walk in also. We don't ever want to become that religious group of busybodies who are pointing out everyone and judging everyone's mistakes and not offering any kind of grace, because we want to be the ones who say, God can make any sinner clean. I believe that. I believe he can do that through Christ. And that's the kind of faith we want to walk in. That's what the message of faith says. It says, there is a way for God to save you. And we ought to praise God for it, man. We try every other way. We try to be good. We try to do our own thing. But that's not the way to be saved. God's arranged for us to be saved. And that's through faith. Now, let's look at this preaching the word of faith. Preaching the word of faith. And you have a bulletin and it has different verses and things on it, but it's a little messed up, so I'll just have to guide you in this. But in the first three verses that we read, verses 6 through 8, we see some things on the preaching of faith. One, it exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. The preaching of faith exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into the heavens? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That will bring Christ up from the dead. And now that sounds a little confusing, but this is what it says. The preaching of faith says this, Jesus has all that we need. When you found Jesus, you found all that you need. You don't need to keep looking up in the heights of heaven. You don't need to keep digging and looking for what might help you in this world. When you find Christ, you find it all. The preaching of faith exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the end of the law to those who believe. He is the all-sufficient Savior. He has everything you need. Everything you need is in Christ. You don't need to find Christ and this other thing and those other things. Christ has it all, and the preaching of faith exalts him. Don't go looking around here and there. He came to you. He came to us. He comes to us through his word. He came to us in his ministry, and he offers us that way. It exalts Jesus. Don't we want to be a Jesus-exalting church? Oh, my goodness. Y'all, if there's anyone you can get behind, if there's anyone you can stand for, if there's anyone you want to stand with, I promise it's not me, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. I promise it's not anybody else or anything else. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who are looking for some deep spiritual truth, you can find it all in Jesus Christ. If you are a beginner and you just need someone to teach you the ways and the ropes of walking in faith, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're somewhere between deep and shallow, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that you need. There's people looking for things all over the place. You ever remember that song? Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love. There's people looking for truth. I just want to know the truth. The truth is a man, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he's the Son of God. I just want to seek out God so I know what God wants. Jesus Christ is the incarnate Son of God. The fullness of God dwells in him bodily, and he's got everything you need. Well, I just need somebody who understands me. He is called our counselor, and he knows exactly what you need. Well, I just need somebody to give me some direction in my life. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he knows how to direct your life. He has everything we need. Need somebody trustworthy? Need somebody faithful? Need somebody powerful? Need somebody well-connected? Jesus Christ is the one we need. Your search is over when you found Jesus. So preaching the message of faith exalts Jesus Christ. It doesn't say, man, you got to do this and that. Oh, you got to do this and that. It says, he's done it. Put your faith in him. It's a wrap. Let's go. Let's move on. Let's walk with him. Let's obey him. Let's do what he has to say. Let's hear what he has to say. Preaching the word of faith honors God. It honors God. It says this about God. God found us. God found us. When we see this, we see that God has this whole plan. God had a plan to come to us. God had a plan to find us. All these things are of God. No one is going to be able to stand in front of God on the great day of judgment and say, you need to let me into heaven because I've been such a good guy, because I've been such a good gal. You know, there's not going to be anyone who can brag and boast before God on the day of judgment. Y'all understand that? No one, not one. For all have fallen short. For all have went astray. For all have sought their own ways out and their own means out. No one is going to be able to stand in front of God and say, I earned it. Frank Sinatra is not going to stand in front of the throne and saying, I did it my way. Not in that day. No way. Mm-mm. It honors God. It said this was God's plan. God sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's a God thing from beginning to end. It's not your thing. It's not my thing. It's not the church's thing. It's not the world's thing. It's God's from beginning to end, and it lifts him up. It honors him. When we preach faith, we honor God. When we preach works, we divide people. We suppress people, and we make God look like he don't know how to be an all-sufficient Savior, and we do that all at one time. But when we preach faith, this is what we're saying. We've got no hope but God. We've got no Savior but God. We've got no way but God. We have no light but God. It's not dependent on me, it's on him. For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith, and it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's a gift. So when we preach faith, we honor God. What we're doing is actually seeing God for who he is. We're not exaggerating either. You need to read the scripture. You want to know how big God is? Read the scripture. And then when you read the scripture and you see how ginormous he is compared to what we usually think about him, know this. He's even bigger than that. That's just what we could handle in the revelation, but we know that he's done more, is more than even what's recorded. It says that in the Gospels. It says, if we recorded everything Jesus did, the books of the earth couldn't hold all that he did and all that he was. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says, it's only revealed what you can handle. So the God of the Bible is much bigger than the God you think about in your mind. But I just want you to know the Bible doesn't even contain all about him. He's bigger even than that. And so when we preach faith, we're preaching the God who spoke the world into existence. It's an awesome thing. When we preach faith, we bring it right down to where people are. Hey, this is our thing right here. All right, if you weren't, you might say, well, I wasn't interested, but I want to hear something about me. I want to hear something about what God has to say about me. Here it is. It's this. You have access to faith right now. You have access to faith right now. What do you got to do to generate your faith? You know, you ever hear people say, I'd go to church, but I'm just not good enough. Ain't nobody good enough. Good enough for what anyway? What in the world are they thinking about church anyway? Let me tell you, you got access to God through faith right now. That's what it says in verse 8. In verse 8, it says this. What does it say? What does the word of faith say? It says, the word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart, and that is the word of faith which we preach. Oh, Christ Community Church, may it always be said of us, that's the word of faith that we preach. And it means this, you can be changed in a moment because the faith that's required of God is near you, in your heart, on the tip of your tongue. It's there. One step of faith changed my life for an eternity when I put that faith in Jesus Christ. One step of faith. And it wasn't just my doing, it was what God led me to. But that changed my entire life. Me. Do you know what kind of Yankee moves down to the South and then never moves back? What kind of Yankee is it? Everybody say it at once. No, I'm just kidding. Don't say it. Don't say it. We're in church, not supposed to talk like that. But you know, I was at a Christian retreat this weekend. And when somebody found out I was from Michigan and that I've been in Mississippi for 12 years, they said, well, you know, the kind of Yankee that moves down here and don't move back is a burp. I said, really? After 12 years? Now, we've come to realize we won't ever be Southerners. You know, just you got to be born here. And I'm cool with that. I understand that. I'll never be a part of that, you know, that club in that sense. But you know what? The word of faith to get in the family of God, it's right at your heart. It's right at the tip of your tongue. You have access to it. He wants you in his family. He wants you to relate to him and abide with him and come with him. He wants you to be there, so he opens the door so that anyone can come. It's right there in your heart. It's right there on the tip of your tongue. Just exercise the faith that he's given you. Put it in Christ, and boom, your life can be changed forever. And remember the context that we're preaching in. He's wanting his family and his friends to be saved. He's wanting Israel to be saved. He's wanting them to come to know Christ personally. And he's saying, look, you're so close. God's brought it right down to you. It's in your heart. It's on the tip of your tongue. Just yield over to him. Exercise that faith. Start that conversation with God. That's what we preach. That's the word we preach. That's right here. You don't got to go. You don't have to do any requirements. There's no prereqs to to getting saved. There's no prereqs to joining the family of God. There's no prenuptial agreements to getting into God's family. It just is a step of faith. The faith that's in your heart, you verbalize, you act upon through prayer. Which brings us to the next point, praying the word of faith. The bigger part of this section that we're doing is I'm praying. And I've got to think this. The more and more I read the Bible, or if you read Christian biographies of great Christians who lived throughout the centuries, what you'll find is they were a praying people. Man, they were praying. And so when I see this part, and really the bigger part of it deals with prayer, I'm just reminded of God's emphasis on that prayer life, that we talk with Him, that we relate to Him, that we converse with Him. I said this a little bit earlier, but I want to say it again when we look at this section, because there's much talk about this and about a sinner's prayer and all these things. Let me tell you, there's no prayer that can save you. You're like, oh man, I'm really bad off. There was a guy who he was being witnessed to, and this Christian come up and he wanted to witness to him. And he was the bus driver for the church. And he used to pick this kid up from the same house every Sunday, drive him to church and bring him back, drive him to church, bring him back. One day the bus driver came, and it wasn't Sunday. And the daddy was sitting in the backyard, and he had his adult beverage by his side. And he sees the bus driver from church pull up, you know, in the suit, and he goes, oh, brother. He said, hey, man, I don't want to waste any of your time. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not interested in going to church. And the bus driver said, oh, man, I wouldn't come to talk to you about church because church couldn't help you anyway. And the guy went, well, why not? he kind of got offended. Well, let me tell you, I'm not here just to talk to you about some magic prayer because that ain't going to help you anyway. It's not going to help me anyway. It's not the prayer that saves. We got to know that. There's a big dialogue going on in the Christian world, but we just got to know. It's not the prayer. It's not a formula. There's not a way to be saved. There's a person who saves you. That person is God. But with that being said, let me say this. Although a prayer cannot save you, but you can't be saved without praying. It's like this two-sided coin. Same coin, two sides. Because look, what God says is this. When you got the faith in your heart, you need to confess it with your mouth. That's what God said. That's His way. That's not my way. That's His way. And could you imagine this anyways? Can you imagine somebody saying that they're saved and you say, really? And so you talk to God. Well, no, I've never talked with God. But you're saved? Yeah, I'm saved because, you know, I thought some things, I did some things, but I've never talked to God before. How could you claim? Could you claim to have a relationship with anybody but never have talked to Him before? You might say, well, I mean, I'm talking about all forms of communication. You never texted them, you've never emailed them, you've never Instagrammed them, you've never wrote them a letter as a pen pal, but you say you know them. Is that real? Is that a real relationship? No, it's phony. It's fakey. It happens a lot of times with us and celebrities. You know, you ever watch a show for long enough and you start thinking those people are real? You know, you're like, man, I like Tony DiNozzo. He and I are buddies. You know, I know him. We're buddies. And the truth is, Tony DiNozzo, he don't even exist. He's a fake guy off of NCIS. Debbie, that's, yep, NCIS. Debbie's going, who is Tony DiNozzo? Why is my preacher talking about Tony DiNozzo? I don't even know who he is. NCIS, which stands for NCIS. But, you know, you watch these things, and it's almost like you think you know them because you've watched them on TV. And I wonder in Grenada, how many people have gone to church long enough to where they fooled themselves to think they know God, but all they've done is watch people talk about Him, and they've heard about Him, but they've never really talked to Him themselves. Y'all think you're going to get into heaven and have your first conversation with God then? Do you truly think the gates are open to strangers to God? Y'all need to get on the list today, now, here. You need to pray to Him here. You need to know him here. You don't go to heaven to get to know God. You go to heaven because you know God and you're known by God. And if you're not talking with him, if you ain't having a conversation with him, you need to ask yourself if you really know him. Now, I know we all fall short on our prayer life. We don't pray like we should. The Bible even says we don't pray like we should. That's not a mystery. But if you've never talked with him, don't suppose you know him just because you've been to a church and you've heard somebody preach on him. This is God's design for ministry, for salvation. God's design for salvation is just like in the preaching. It involves the heart and the mouth. It involves faith and prayer. Verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It didn't say you could be saved. It didn't say the odds are pretty well overwhelmingly in your favor that you'll be saved. It says if you confess with your mouth, that's the prayer of faith, because you believe it in your heart, you will be saved. Now, God is the tester of these things, right? I can't test your heart. The closest person in your life actually can't even test your heart. We can give our best guess by your actions and your words. That's the only way we can judge, right? By actions and words, because we can't look inside you. But God is not so limited. God knows. I'm going to tell you, if you believe and you've confessed, my goodness, and confession here isn't running through a list of sins. It's agreeing with God that Jesus is Lord. That's what it is. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, I submit my life to you. I want to get to know you. That's the prayer of faith that works. That's God's design. Do you know how serious God is by his design? I'm going to bring up a really embarrassing part of history with King David. It's real embarrassing, and some people are probably not going to like me just because I bring this up, but it's very, very embarrassing. And the Ark of the Covenant had been kept in a village country because the Philistines had stole it, and they gave it away, and they rolled it to this family farm. And finally, David wants to get the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem so they can praise and they can worship. And so he gets everything ready. He decides, my goodness, we're going to do this thing. So he gets a brand new cart and a brand new set of oxen, because when the Philistines shipped the Ark of the Covenant, that's what they used. They used oxen and they used a cart. And they put the Ark of the Covenant, which would look like this box except for big angels on top and poles, and they put it on the cart and they start traveling it to Jerusalem. And David is dancing, and he's killing animals, which was a way of worship back then. And they're having a great time. And all of a sudden, the Ark of the Covenant shakes. Boom, 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 boom. And a guy named Uzzah puts his hand on the Ark to keep it from falling off. And God struck Uzzah dead. And everybody got mad at God. David was mad at God. Uzzah's mama was mad at God. Everybody was mad at God because of what God did. But you know why he did it? Because the people of God who had the word of God were not doing things the way God said do. Because God has given complete instructions on how the Ark of the Covenant should be moved by the people of God. And the people of God were following the example of the world and the Philistines, and they weren't following God's example, and it cost people's lives. David, in a few chapters later, repents, and he gets the Levites to come out, and they put poles in the Ark of the Covenant, and they carry it on their shoulders, just like God says. Now, I don't think we're in danger of God striking us like he struck Uzzah. He may, he can. I'm not saying he won't. I'm just telling you, the danger I see is that when the church, when the people of God don't preach the gospel message and don't give people an invitation, and we don't share our faith, and we don't ask people to pray and respond to God in faith and in prayer, that I believe we're putting their life in danger. Because we're selling them short. We're not doing all that God required. We're not doing what God said. This isn't my word. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And if that wasn't enough, he adds two whoever's and an anybody. Let me tell you what I mean. Look at the next verses. Verse 11. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Your faith will not return void. When you put your faith in God, it does not return void. That's what he says. Whoever believes on God will not be put to shame. Verse 13 has another whoever. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. So again, we see this heart and mouth combination. Believe in your heart, it won't return void. Call on the Lord and you will be saved. Are y'all getting that heart and mouth connection? Believe in your heart, call on the Lord. And it says it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're black, white. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish or not. It doesn't matter if you're Puerto Rican or Asian. I just threw those in there just because. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you've been a rotten, filthy sinner to the nth degree. Or if you've been somebody who's trying to been Mrs. Goody Two-Shoes or Mr. Goody Two-Shoes your whole life. It don't matter. You call on the name of the Lord in faith and you will be saved. Now that changes your life. Don't get me wrong. But it don't matter who you are. The prayer of faith saves the one who called. Not the God we put our faith in saves, but he does it through prayer. Because faith is necessary, because God calls us to call upon him in order to be saved, that means it necessitates a preacher. It necessitates a messenger. How can they call on him on whom they have not believed? How can they believe in him who they haven't heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. I hope that Christ Community Church is the kind of church that raises up gospel preachers. I heard a man one time say that a church ought not be judged by its seating capacity, how many people could get in there, but by its sending capacity, how many people are called out to go and preach the gospel in the world. When you go and preach the gospel, when you're a messenger of the gospel, one, you got to know that that's necessary so people can hear and respond to God in faith, but it also beautifies you. It says, how beautiful are the feet. I'm looking for feet right now. Anybody got, there's Miss Tammy's feet. And she's just wiggling them around in her sandal. And your feet are covered with shoes. But how beautiful are the feet? Not usually the part that we put out there is most beautiful, is it? Makes you want to clip your toenails, doesn't it? Somebody's looking at your feet. But here's the point. The point is this. When you walk with the purpose of sharing the gospel, your feet are beautiful. When you walk with that purpose, when you're when God's purpose that way, it beautifies what you're doing. And it's necessary that we preach. How can they pray? How can they pray in faith if we're not preaching? How can they even have faith? Listen to this last statement. Verse 17 says this, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we go, and as we send preachers of the gospel, and they preach the message of faith, people's faith grows. And it grows to the point where some will cross that threshold, and they'll respond to God in prayer, and they'll be saved. That's the kind of church I hope we are in 5 years, even more than what we are now. I praise God that last month we had two fine young men. I'm looking at one of them right there, and he's already embarrassed. He's sinking into his chair. Who were licensed to the gospel ministry. But Lord, help us to have many more. People who are preaching the gospel. One, Dustin's preaching this morning. Right now, he's preaching the gospel at Webb Baptist Church. But may there be more. How many more? Dozens more. We talked about Steve Mon, but he was a member of church here, but he had an opportunity. He's not here with us anymore. Why isn't he here with us? There was an opportunity to start a cowboy church. There was an opportunity for him to be in the gospel ministry, and that's where he is. And I'd rather have him there than here. What do y'all think about that? Because he's preaching the gospel. His feet are beautiful. That's the kind of church I hope we are. I hope we continue in that way. I hope God calls many people. I hope God calls Austin Lee into the preaching ministry. And you got to let him go, mama, so his feet will be beautiful in God's work. You know, it's just one of those things. You just hope God uses us that way. But that's not a new idea. That's the way the church is supposed to be. That's the way we're supposed to be. Amen? All right, close your eyes. Bow your head. you know, in our preaching of faith, in our preaching about what it means to be saved, it means to start that Godward conversation, following and responding to the promptings of God. If you're here today and you have never given your life to Christ, if you've never given your life to Christ, if you're just pretending, if you've just seen other people who are living their faith and you've never personally started that conversation with God, would you raise your hand up? Would you raise your hand up so we can pray for you? If that's you, would you say, John, just pray for me that I might respond in faith to God? Let me tell you, God is always ready to hear the prayer of faith. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 says, his ear is not dull till he can't hear, and his arm is not shortened that he cannot save. He's ready, he's willing to hear the prayer of faith. Don't assume just because you know someone who knows him that you know him too. You've got to have a real relationship with him. And you come here, we're going to preach the word of faith. We're going to preach God's word. We're going to preach believing. And y'all, that's the kind of church God would have us to be. We're going to exalt Jesus Christ. We're going to honor the Father. And we're going to see people come to know him. We want to be the church in Grenada where people get saved. Maybe they go somewhere else to start a church. Maybe they get in some other ministry. But let's be the church where they come to get saved because we're preaching Jesus. Amen? All right, let me pray. Father, thank you for how you love us. Fill us up with your Spirit. Fill us with confidence and boldness. Surely there's people in here saying, well, I'm not a preacher. How can I go? If you got Jesus, you've become a messenger. You've become a carrier of the gospel. Help us to all take that responsibility seriously and help us to be the church where we're preaching the gospel message and seeing people get saved for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to come down for the morning offering. I haven't got there yet, but part of the Back to Basics series is tithing and giving. And y'all, listen. If you can find a more worthy thing to give to other than the kingdom of God, the moving of Jesus Christ, his local church, y'all go ahead and tell me. Tell me what you'll be proud of to give your money to on that day and you meet the Lord and say, you know what, this is what I used it for. I had a wonderful, wonderful, you know, whatever, collection of movies. I had season tickets to my favorite ball team every year. I had all these things. I didn't have any money for the church, but I had a really fine car, really fine house, really fine stuff. See how well that suits you when you're taking your last breaths. It's just not right. And I'm not here to guilt or freak you out. I'm just telling you the truth. We invest in things all the time, voluntarily and not voluntarily. I call taxes non-voluntary contributions. And they take a lot. God doesn't ask as much as what our government asks. But I'm going to tell you something. He puts it to far better purpose. Besides that, he says this, without his help, you wouldn't have any jingle in your pocket anyway. So the way I figure it is this. He gave it to you at an interest-free loan, and he's asked you to be faithful in giving a portion back. That's another sermon. But let me pray for us. Lord, help us to be faithful in giving as well as in responding to you in faith. And Lord, we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.